Just want to mention again a thank you to Kyra, Andrew, and Kaylee as Kiana, Andrew, and Kaylee. Did I get it right? Wow, I just realized. So it's thank you for the special number. And I guess I was thinking more in that area of students coming home. And I look across and I see other students here with us. So it's great to have students together and like come home and families that all coming together. I want to remind you, and you probably know because you came in and you saw the communion sets at the front and then at the back, that there is communion at the end of the service this morning. And there will also be a benevolent offering. And I see the plates up for the benevolent offering. And then, children, I just want to remind you that the bingo is not over. And so if you have your packets and with all the stuff in there, make sure you have your bingo card handy. And if you didn't get one yet, it looks to me like there's still some packets at the back. And so you could get to the back and grab a packet which has a bingo card in it, because it's not too late yet. I think that there's still the possibilities of having a bingo before the end of the service. Now, I hear that there will be a pumpkin pie after the service, and I've been looking forward to that. I look forward to Thanksgiving. I look forward to Thanksgiving as soon as fall comes, as soon as I hear that at Starbucks they're offering pumpkin spice lattes. You know, it just somehow gets me excited. Have you been excited for Thanksgiving? You know, I want to invite you to take out your Bibles, because we're going to be looking at God's Word in a moment's time. But while you're digging out your Bibles, let's talk about Thanksgiving for a moment. Why do you like Thanksgiving? Like, why do you like it? Is it because of the food? You know, is it because of that? The turkey, right? So good. And the pumpkin pie as dessert, isn't that good? It is. I already mentioned that. And I'm looking forward to after the service. Is it? Yes, Andrew. Is it because it's a long weekend? Is that why we look forward to Thanksgiving? It's a long weekend, and so we so desperately need a long weekend, because we've come through the summer months, and then we start school, we start kind of the routine of the fall, and it's like, oh, we need another break, and there comes the Thanksgiving weekend. Is that possibly why? Is it maybe because around us we see the end of summer and the harvest, and with that all, we need to celebrate? Because God is so good to us. Or is it family? Is it family? Maybe it's a combination of all of them. Maybe that's why. But I'm not naive. I know that some of you, a number of you, are struggling. You're struggling with difficult situations. Life is not easy. And the Bible speaks about that right from the beginning, about the difficulties of life. And yet it talks about in the difficulties of life to be thankful. And sometimes that seems hard. It does. Jesus said to those who want to follow him in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." So in Jesus Christ we have peace. But in the world, we have tribulation. And we have the privilege as believers in Christ to be in Christ and yet to be in the world but not of the world. And so we have the privilege of encountering this peace, of living in Jesus. And so Jesus says, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Let me read that again. John 16:33. "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So as we gather in our homes for this holiday, we might be a little discouraged. We might be facing difficulties. We might be having problems. And many of us will put on a good, happy face. So Sometimes we feel like hypocrites when we're doing that. But we'll do that. We'll do that because we are celebrating and we're thankful. We're thankful in our hearts. Thankfulness sometimes is connected to our circumstances. It's a number of years ago, and some of you probably are playing McDonald's Monopoly right now, right? Yes, see? Kids, they betray their parents and everything, okay? A number of you are playing McDonald's Monopoly. I remember it was Vanessa was about 10 years old, and Andy would have been a couple of years old or so, about 12, and they won a major prize at that time in McDonald's Monopoly. They won a $500 prize. Boy, you talk about, you know, smiles, right? Sometimes our circumstances can make us thankful. Well, I think that we want to go deeper than that. And so I want us to answer this morning the question, how can we maintain a thankful heart when our troubles threaten to overtake us? How can we maintain a thankful heart when our troubles threaten to overtake us? Came across an illustration. It's an old illustration. It's an illustration from Matthew Henry, the British scholar, famous for his commentary set, the Matthew Henry commentary set. Many, I'm looking, some of the older crowd, you probably have the Matthew Henry sitting on your shelf. And even if you're younger and you're going into ministry or you've been to Bible school, you know what I'm talking about, the Matthew Henry commentary set. That's kind of like the standard. Well, Matthew Henry wrote about an incident in his diary that happened in his life. He said, "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed." Oh, I should say that he wrote this in this diary after he was robbed. Okay, so Matthew Henry is robbed in that evening. He's writing in his diary, "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." Wow. Thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, you have your Bibles. You can whip open to this passage too and look at it for a moment. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I believe that when we place our eyes on our circumstances, thanksgiving might become difficult. Because our circumstances are all not always the circumstances we want to have or the circumstances we want to live in. But when we place our eyes on Jesus in all circumstances, then thanksgiving becomes a reality. Praise and thanksgiving seem to be connected strongly together in the scriptures. If you did a word search on this, you would find that they are interconnected and they're sometimes used interchangeably. And I would say the reason for this is because it's very difficult to separate praise and thankfulness. When you are thankful, you praise. And when you're praising, you are really thankful. So thankfulness is a reality of faith in Jesus. Now the writer to the Hebrews, in the last chapter, connects faith and thanksgiving. He connects this, faith, thanksgiving, and praise. Okay? But he goes to more than the thought of thankfulness in all circumstances. He takes us a step further and he says that we're to be thankful or we're to praise in all of life. So 24/7, Hebrews 13, verses 15 to 16. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually," and that word continually means just all the time is what in the Greek, the tense of it. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Thankfulness. What are you thankful for this morning? I want you to stand up. We got kids with us this morning. We got to keep our service kind of moving a little bit. So why don't we stand up, turn around to somebody, and maybe you got to walk a little bit, but stretch out your hand and just say to them, I am thankful for. Okay, can you do that? Maybe you can't think of anything to be thankful for at the moment. I sure hope you can. Just stand up, reach out, grab somebody's hand. Don't take too long. There's pumpkin pie waiting for us. Oh, that's terrible. Okay, this is great. I'm going to have to cut you short, though. I'm going to have to ask that you move back now, you know. But this is so good. And I'm looking at people and they're hugging and all kinds of things are happening here as we're declaring thankfulness. God's goodness. That is something to be thankful for. More than any of our circumstances. And God is asking us to look deeper than the materialism or our circumstances as such. He's asking us to look deeper. He's asking us to look at that which he gives to us, and that's inner peace. It's his promises. It's life eternal. And so back in Hebrews 13, again, 13, 15 to 16, we find the word sacrifice used twice. Thankfulness results in and is tied to sacrifice. The writer of Hebrews ties thankfulness to God's sacrifice for humanity. And he says that we are to sacrifice in response. The whole letter to the Hebrews is about Jesus' sacrifice, and that Jesus is the ultimate high priest, that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, that there's no one like Jesus. And he died for you and for me. And he ties that sacrifice, God's sacrifice for us, and our sacrifice in response together. You see, God's love for you was declared not just through words, but through a sacrifice. Christ died for you. God took on human form and died for you and me so we could be put into right relationship with our God, with our Creator. His words, well, it's far more than that. It turns to action. God's love, more than words, God's love is action. And so our response, the writer to the Hebrews says that our response is to be the same. It's to be a response of genuine love. It's a response that goes beyond words. It's a response that's tied to action. It's a response that's tied to sacrifice. And so the writer to the Hebrews is encouraging us in that area of sacrifice. God gave himself in the form of Christ to die for our sins. Our response is a sacrifice. But God doesn't want a half-hearted sacrifice. You see, God laid it out for us in the Old Testament sacrificial system. Again, we see that in the book of Hebrews. The lamb was perfect without blemish. You didn't bring the second best to God. You brought the best. I came across a true story this week. It was of a woman. She called the consumer helpline of the Butter Bowl Turkey Company. It was just prior to Thanksgiving. It wasn't this year, but because it's a story that is documented. It was just prior to Thanksgiving that she phoned the Butter Bowl Turkey Company, the consumer division helpline there, and she asked the following question. Is it safe to eat a turkey that's been in the freezer for 25 years? The person on the other end indicated that if the turkey had never been thawed, it shouldn't present any danger. But he added, I can't imagine that after 25 years in the freezer, the turkey would have much taste. Well, the woman replied, that's what I thought. Anyway, I'm planning to donate it to the church. God wants sacrifices, but sacrifices have to cost. Even the word sacrifice means cost. I'm reminded of the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 24. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 24. I've parked here on this chapter for a while because I'm still wrestling with it. It has to do with King David, a man after God's own heart. King David loved the Lord. But something happened in 2 Samuel 24. We find that David asks Joab to count the military men, the fighting men, those that can fight in the nation Israel, to count them. And the Bible scholars, there's a lot of speculation. But probably some of this ties to the fact that David was shifting his eyes from God to himself and to his kingdom. But he asked, and out of that, God brought punishment upon King David. There was a cost to that. 70,000 innocent people gave their lives. A plague came across the nation Israel, and the plague was just at the edge of Jerusalem, really Mount Moriah, just at the edge of where the temple would be built one day. And there the angel of death was. And David saw the angel, and God stopped the angel there. And David needed to do a sacrifice. He had to make a sacrifice to God. Really, it was a declaration to God is God, that He is sovereign, He is all-powerful. A declaration of trust and faith. And so as David is there by that mountain, an individual offers David livestock and wood to do this offering. And David responds back in Samuel 24:24. Here it is. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. Thankfulness and praise that pleases God is a life. You see, an exchange takes place when we accept Christ, when we come to God, an exchange takes place. We give our will, our heart, our mind, our total self to God in exchange for forgiveness of sins. Sometimes I think about that. People say, well, salvation doesn't cost you anything. I think that's not true. That's not true at all. That's not what the Word of God says. Salvation costs you everything. It costs you your life. You see, you have to declare that God is your God, and that you will obey Him, and that you will live for Him, that you will reflect Him in this world, that you'll be like Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing. At the moment you accept Christ, at the moment you give your life for the forgiveness of sins, all circumstances change because of one circumstance. Because you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your whole worldview shifts. And instead of looking at the circumstances of life, you now look at Jesus. You look at God, the one who created you. And now every moment in life is undergirded by the fact that our sins are now forgiven, and that we will dwell in the presence of God for eternity. Every moment now in life is undergirded by the fact that we are now God's child. The love that was declared is now experienced. You see, God spoke His love, He demonstrated His love, but when you accepted Jesus, you experienced His love. And at that moment, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can experience new life. A life that isn't tied to the circumstances around you, because it's looking beyond this world. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews says. And he wants us to understand that today too. We live for Jesus in anticipation of the promises of Jesus. It makes a complete difference in our life. It changes everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says that we're to give thanks in all circumstances. Hebrews 13:15 says that we're to give thanks all the time. But how do we do that? This morning, I want to quickly yet leave with you three ways, because I think sometimes we struggle on how we can give thanks. Because we're thinking, like, how do I do this? I give my all to God, but how do I give thanks? There are certain ways that we can show gratitude. There are. You know, the first way that we can show gratitude to God is by becoming an active listener. How do we become an active listener? We become an active listener when we read God's word with listening ears and a listening heart. We become an active listener when we stop in our prayers and allow God to speak to us. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I pray so fast and I say amen that there's no way God could ever get a word in edgewise. Does that show gratitude? No. No. Become an active listener. Read the Word of God with listening ears, listening heart, and pray with listening ears. That means you've got to stop. You need to give Him time. Secondly, in this area of gratitude and thanksgiving, give out compliments. Give out compliments. Oh, we think of that on a human level. Have you ever thought of doing that to God? Give out compliments. One of the compliments we can give is when we sit down for a meal and we bow our heads and we say, "Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful meal." When we get up in the morning and we grab that cup of coffee, we can say, "Thank you, Lord, for this cup of coffee." There are so many ways to show gratitude, and it's not goofy. Declare to God praise and thanksgiving. It's not goofy. Just as you would say to somebody that you like, "Boy, that's a nice shirt you're wearing today. You can respond to God the same way. Because God is the creator of all. And then, through being thoughtful of others, Remember that God loves all people. God loves all people. And He calls us to love all people, including our enemies. So when we love people with the love of Christ, with the desire to see them come to know Jesus, we are then showing gratitude to God for that which He's done for us. So at this time, what I want to do is I want to open up the communion stations on both sides of us and the one at the back. The worship team is going to come behind me. They're going to lead and just playing and singing a song. You don't have to sing. You can sing. You don't have to sing. You might want to just take a moment and just say thank you to God. But when you go to that communion station and you take the cup and the bread, remember to give thanks. Remember to give thanks.